The following sermon is read from Volume 5 of the six-volume set entitled Puritan Sermons 1659 to 1689, being the morning exercises at Cripplegate. This complete six-volume set of Puritan sermons is available from Stillwater Revival Books on Calvinism Bookshelf CD Volume 1 in SWRB's 3-for-1 CD Super Sale at swrb.com. This set is also available from SWRB in printed format at swrb.com. Stillwater's Revival Books makes thousands of classic Puritan books and sermons available, free and at great discounts, in print, audio, and video formats at swrb.com. If you would like to join our email list to stay up to date about all the new, free, and discounted Puritan and Reform resources we make available, please send an email to swrb at swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. For more information about the Puritan Publishing Ministry of SWRB, please email us at swrb at swrb.com. Welcome to a continuation of the reading of Sermon 21. By Thomas Parsons, Part 2, entitled Of Saving Faith. 2. Secondary or subordinate reasons. First, on God's part, upon supposition of his institution. 1. His justice. Having received a valuable price for salvation, and this price being made the sinner's own in the way of God's own appointment, so that see, leaving sinners may humbly plead with God as a righteous judge for their crown, 2 Timothy 4:8, God's justice being not only secured, but obliged, in a sense, by faith, Romans 3:26. 2. His faithfulness, having as his word promised salvation to faith, as he hath been shown. Secondly, on faith's part, the reason why God hath conjoined certain salvation with it, is because it giveth most glory to God of anything, Romans 4:20. Therefore God entails glory on it peculiarly. It honoureth God, and God will honour them that have it. 1 Samuel 2:30. He that believeth sets his seal that God is true, and every way justifieth and advances him. John 3:33. Properties. 5. Properties and notes of trial, convertible with true faith and reciprocal, where faith is, there is this and that, where this and that are, there is faith, where faith is not, these are not, etc., and farther differencing it from their other faith, which is a needful work, for there is true and false, feigned and unfeigned, alive and dead, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Of these, some indeed belong to the former head of effects, and some of them seem not altogether unsuitable to be referred to this head. The first shall be a more general note. True and saving faith receiveth the whole Christ upon judgment and choice on God's terms, Lord to rule, as well as Jesus to save, the object of faith in the text. No separating what God hath joined, and to have a divided Christ, not a whole Christ, salvation, but not self-denial, etc. True faith is a considerate thing. That which hath least depth springs up most suddenly. Matthew 13:5. The soul sits down and weigheth, and casteth up all accounts, and compareth all things together. Misery by sin, undoneness in self, terms of salvation, self-denial a fundamental one, taking up the cross, following Christ, universally sincere obedience, and what the world, lust, or Satan can say to the contrary, and saith content to God's terms. And here the bargain is made. The soul trusts God contentedly for his part, even privilege, and resolvedly sets about its own part, even duty. Hence true faith, proceeding deliberately upon God's terms, is willing to be tried by the word declaring those terms, which par the trial a according to the word follows. Secondly, true and saving faith is ushered in by godly sorrow and humility in a good degree, though they are farther completed afterward upon the sense of God's pardoning and accepting love. Then shalt thou remember thy ways and be ashamed. Ezekiel 16:61-63. Repent and believe. Mark 1:15. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20:21. This is gospel order. The inconsistency between faith and pride is evident in that opposition of the soul's lifting up and living by faith, Habakkuk 2:4, and the hindrance of the Jews believing, John 5:44. The centurion's and woman's faith were attendant with eminent humility, Matthew 15:27-28, and 8:8-10. Did not humility and godly sorrow accompany and bring in faith? The law could not be our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, Galatians 3:24. This shutteth out that easy, merry, proud faith that springs up without the dunging of humility or watering of sorrow according to God. Thirdly, true and saving faith is abiding and perseverant, and this upon supposition of temptations and assaults. For otherwise a mock faith may have a continuance, and men die in a pleasing dream of ungrounded, presumptuous confidence. Now it must be such, or cannot be saving, for as it is said, he that believeth shall be saved, Mark 16:16, so he that endureth to the end shall be saved, Matthew 24:13. They that have true faith have the seed of God abiding in them, the prayer of Christ for them, are kept by the power of God, for he that hath begun a good work will finish it, Philippians 1:6. His gifts being without repentance. Believing and sealing for security are conjoined. Ephesians 1:13. The true believer is the wise man that built on the rock. His house therefore stood. Matthew 7:24-25. The good ground hath had depth of earth, that what springs may not wither. Matthew 13:8. The just shall live by his faith. Continue therein, and so believe to the saving of his soul. Habakkuk 2:4, Hebrews 10:38-39, being rooted and established therein through Christ. Colossians 2:7. See more of this before under the efficient cause, principle, and instrumental. Fourthly, true and saving faith is growing, though this growth be not always discernible or alike. That prayer for increase of faith, Luke 17:5, flowed from the very nature of faith. It is a good fight, 1 Timothy 6:12, which must be carried on to a complete conquest, running a race, speaking progress to the finishing of our course, 2 Timothy 4:7, for the way of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more to a perfect day. Proverbs 4:18. Whatever hath life hath growth, till it reach a state of consistency. St. John wrote to those that did believe, that they might believe, 1 John 5:13, which belongs to the last head, that is, growing faith, according to the general apostolic precept of growing in all grace. The same author accounts this the most plain and natural interpretation of that of Paul, from faith to faith, Romans 1:7, confirming it by that of Clement of Alexandria. The apostle speaks not of a double faith, but of one, and that receiving growth and perfecting. The apostle's furtherance of faith, Philippians 1:25, and establishing and abounding in the faith, Colossians 2:7. Speak increase and growth in root and branches, more fixed habit, more frequent acts. They therefore that have believed ever since they were born, and always alike, never believed at all truly. Fifthly, true and saving faith is purging, purifying their hearts by faith. Acts 15:9. Believing and walking not after the flesh are joined. Romans 8:1-4. Where there is faith, and much more assurance of faith, there will be a heart and body cleansed and washed, pollutions of the flesh and spirit taken away by faith. Hebrews 10:22-23, and 2 Corinthians 7:1. Receive the promise of the undefiled inheritance. 1 Peter 1:4. The believer will purify himself as he is pure. 1 John 3:3. In whom he trusteth and hopeth. Living flesh will purge out the sayings and corruption in it. A living fountain, the mud that is stirred up, so living faith. And indeed hereby it is permanent, for purity preserveth. Pure faith cannot be kept but in a good, even in a clean conscience. 1 Timothy 1:19. Sixthly, true and saving faith hath other graces accompanying it. In a good measure, with a proportional increase, strength and activity. I know that some are more eminent for this, others for that grace, as Moses for meekness, Job patience, and Abraham faith, etc. Yet in good measure must other graces accompany, for this is an indispensable duty, to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. 2 Peter 1:5-7. Faith, with many other graces, are called in the singular number harpos, the fruit of the Spirit, because connex and inseparable. Galatians 5:22. Beside that, the growth and strength and activity of other graces have dependence upon it, both as it pleads with Christ in prayer for all, and pleads with the soul to act, stir up, and abound in all. Abram's faith had self-denying denial accompany it. There will be patience, for he that believeth will not make haste. Isaiah 28:16. See more tending to this under the fifth effect of faith. Let not men speak of their faith then, when other graces are no way suitable. Seventhly, true and saving faith is working and fruitful. Though love and good works are not the form of it, as Papists plead, yet it always hath love accompanying, Ephesians 1:15, and worketh by love, Galatians 5:6, and without works is dead, James 2:17. Faith alone justifies. But faith which justifieth is not alone. They that are in Christ Jesus by faith are described by walking in Christ and according to the Spirit. Faith is obediential, Romans 16:26, and cannot but be so, for he that believeth really, his labour shall not be in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Can it in reason and holy ingenuity, but think it meet that he be fruitful and abounding alway in the work of the Lord? 1 Corinthians 15:58. For others, they do not but think, not know, the greatness and certainty of the reward. Yea, indeed, that assurance I before spake of proceeds from faith through obedience. But this we know, that we know him, know, put for believe, if we keep his commandments. 1 John 2:3. I shall therefore, according to St. Paul's command to Titus, affirm constantly this, as a faithful saying, that they which have believed must be careful to maintain good works. Titus 3:8. Eighthly, true and saving faith, trusting God for the greater, will trust him for the lesser mercies. To them that through Christ do believe in God, 1 Peter 1:21, this will seem forcible arguing and a necessary inference. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up, I believe, for me, How shall he not with him also freely give me all things? Romans 8:32. God hath made all sorts of promises to true faith. And accordingly, many of the servants of God have expressed confidence in God when things have gone worst with them. They would not be afraid what man can do unto them, nor of evil tidings, and their hearts were fixed trusting in the Lord. Psalm 56:11 and 112:7. The just living by faith is true in this sense also, and that of Paul's living. The life in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God hath much in it, Galatians 2:20. Though I know natural timorousness and living too much the life of sense may occasion some worldly fears in the believer, as boldness of temper, carelessness, false confidence may much bear up an unbeliever, yet in great measure their pretensions to faith are questionable. I might say their faith is but pretense. Who can say they can trust God with their souls, but will not trust him with their bodies and estates? Ninthly, true and saving faith makes Christ very precious to them that believe. But to the unpersuadable, he is a stone of stumbling, without form or comeliness. 1 Peter 2:7-8 and Isaiah 53:2. They ask the believer, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Canticles 5:9. And no wonder, for none but the believer have a clear eye to behold things that are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. None but he hath that special interest which enhanceth the price and valuation. None but he hath that experience by which it is tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. But sight, propriety, and experience will make him inestimable precious, and the mediation of him sweet. Psalm 104:34. Faith that seeth his necessity seeth also his excellency, and takes him not upon constraint, but choice. Opposites. 4:6. Those things that are opposite to true faith are of two sorts. 1. Such as speak the soul void of it, are simply inconsistent with it. And 2. Such as actively war against it and repel it. These I shall call contrarily opposite, and those privately opposite, though the terms may seem not fully suitable to all the particulars. 1. Privately. Some things are privately opposite to true and saving faith, as relating to the understanding, others to the will, and others to the life. First, as to the understanding and assent. 1. Ignorance, blindness, darkness, or the inconsistency of which with faith, see before of the word, the instrumental cause, this either is invincible ignorance, which means of cure are wanting, Acts 17:30, or vincible, which carelessness, sloth, or affectation causes, for there are some persons willingly and willfully ignorant, and love darkness, 2 Peter 3:5, and John 3:19. 2. Unpersuadable to assent to the truth of the word and promise. Impersuadabilitas. When men are not satisfied in the grounds of believing, and so assent not, wherein yet sometimes there is a battery shaking the assent, and by parley bringing near a surrender, and almost persuasion, which yet is ineffectual, Acts 26:28. 3. Error in fundamentals, especially those that concern faith, Christ, the promises, justification, and salvation. Corrupt minds are reprobate concerning the faith, 2 Corinthians 3:8. Therefore, doubtful disputations, where on one side is error, are dangerous to the weak, Romans 14:1. Secondly, as to the will, affections, and consent. One, unbelief. Not accepting the good things promised, though ignorance or careless, neglect of so great salvation. Hebrews 2:3. Two, disbelief. When men, through dissatisfaction with the reasons to believe, or through pride, stubbornness, uncompliance of spirit, will not come to Christ for life, will not submit to the righteousness of God. John 5:39-44. Thirdly, as relating to life, practice, and profession. One, heresy is privately opposite, such as join obstinacy and promulgation to the errors, whose words eat like a gangrene, are to be rejected, as men void of, and enemies and enemies to the faith. 2 Timothy 2:16-17 and Titus 3:10. Two, apostasy from the truth and profession of the gospel, called denial, namely, after knowing and owning, these never were of the faith, else would not have gone from it. 1 John 2:19. This is a dangerous thing, drawing back to perdition. In such God hath no pleasure, Hebrews 10:38. It had better for them never to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them, 2 Peter 2:21. This commonly ends in bitterest enmity to the faith and true professors of it. Three, all sins lying waste the conscience are inconsistent with faith, because faith and a good conscience are inseparable companions. 1 Timothy 3:9. Two, contrarily. By way of contrariety, there may be considered these things, possibly some also under the former head in part, as opposite to true faith. First, flesh and blood. These cannot enter into the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15:50. And opposed faith that would bring thither. I name this verse because it is the greatest enemy, and gives advantage to all others, and then indeed are we tempted to unbelief or anything else, when we are drawn aside of our own hearts. By flesh and blood is meant sense. Living by sense is the great hinderer and supplanter of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Also carnal reason, judging everything by its own unsuitable apprehensions, and so misrepresenting the things of God. To it the gospel is foolishness, though it is the wisdom and power of God to them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:23-24. This taketh notice of the meanness of the faithful in the world, and stumbleth at it, etc. Abram left both these servants below when he went up into the mount of the Lord to exercise that eminent faith of his. Genesis 22:5. Yea, indeed, sense and reason appeared eminently contrary to him in his entertaining the promise at first. Else had not the great strength of his faith been manifested, nor God glorified so much. Romans 4:18-22. Secondly, Satan's assaults. He not only at first keeps out faith by blinding men's minds, 2 Corinthians 4:4, but afterwards doth with faith, as the king of Syria charged his captains to do with the king of Israel, 1 Corinthians 22:31. He knows what an enemy to his kingdom faith is. By it we resist him, and consequently put him to flight, and quench his darts, 1 Peter 5:9 and Ephesians 6:16. He knows that if our faith fail, all fails, and therefore he desires to winnow the soul, Luke 22:31, and get the good seed out of our hearts, lest we should believe and be saved, Luke 8:12. Thirdly, the world is a great adversary. Why else is faith called the victory over the world, 1 John 5:4, but that there is hostility between the world and it? Fourthly, I might add men's own delays. 1, causing hardness in their hearts from themselves. Today, believe, unless you would harden your hearts. Hebrews 3:15 and John 12:38-40. 2, provoking God to seal men up under their injudicious, unpersuadable minds for their long opposition to the light and word of faith. The spirit of faith will not always strive when men still resist him. Genesis 6:3 and Acts 7:51. Useless. I shall improve all that have been spoken by some few uses and conclude. 1. Information. The first sort of uses shall be corollaries for information. 1. Of the uncertain and unspeakable misery of the unbeliever from the sure happiness of the believer. Remember what hath been spoken before of the excellent effects and consequence of faith, union with Christ, justification, adoption, etc., and that great and everlasting fruit, salvation, upon all which may conclude with the apostle, blessed are they which be of faith, or believe, with faithful Abraham. Galatians 3:9. Yea, therefore, blessed is he that believeth, because there shall be a performance of all those things that have been spoken of the Lord. Luke 1:45. Now turn the table, invert the sense, read all backward, and understand all contrary of the unbeliever. No union with, but separation and distance from Christ. No pardon of sin, reconciliation and justification, but guilt in full force, the curse of the law. And so he is left to stand or fall by himself, and the wrath of God are upon him. John 3:36. No adoption of sons, but rejection, as spurious, and sonship to the devil. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4:4. No salvation, but inevitable condemnation. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Yea, is condemned already, because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Mark 16:16. John 3:18. That is, his present state is a state of certain damnableness, as sure as if he were condemned already. Not that there can be no believing afterward, or recovery thereby, for who then should be saved? Luke 18:26. For such were some, yea, all of them, that are justified by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:11. As the apostle speaks of other sinners, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. 1 John 5:10. But he shall find him exactly true to his cost, in such words as these. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. John 3:36. The unbelieving, as well as more carnal sinners, shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Men by unbelief depart from the living God. Hebrews 3:12. Will not come for life. John 5:40. And judge themselves unworthy of eternal life. Acts 13:46. And bring a kind of impotency upon the omnipotent as to the doing them any good. Matthew 13:58. No wonder then if Jesus wondered at their unbelief, but held his hands from helping them. Mark 6:5-6. Oh, how much better were it for them among us that believe not, that they had never had offers of salvation, never heard the gospel of the grace of God. 2. It is no small matter to be saved, since faith is such a thing as before described, and without it there is no salvation. Should Christ now come, should he find faith in the earth? Luke 18:8. Alas, the small number of those that should be saved, there being so few believers, though so many professors of faith among Christians. This is sadly manifest in the gross ignorance of the most, and suitably and suitable apprehensions in the doctrine of faith of very few, in the errors, heresies, apostasies of many, even denying the Lord that bought them, 2 Peter 2:1, in the altogether contrary life of most to that faith they pretend to have, whence, as well as repentance, should have fruits meet for it brought forth, and accordingly it is known, Luke 3:8 and Matthew 7:20. No wonder if they take true saving faith to be no more than assent, and a professed owning the doctrine of the gospel, a confidence at all adventures of God's love, etc., or some such thing, think the way to heaven broad, and wonder at any speaking of the paucity of those that shall be saved. Luke 13:23. 3. Hence takes notice of the reasonableness of the Christian religion. 1. That God requireth no more but believe. Other things indeed are required, but they naturally flow from faith, are inseparably linked with faith, and faith cannot be without them. Faith is a great work of God and command of the gospel. 2. That this is so suitable. Without faith, no salvation can be apprehended as attainable by the new covenant, but it comes union to and interest in the person of the mediator. But it is the appropriation and application made of what he hath done and suffered in sinners' behalf. By it is acceptance given to God's gracious offers in the gospel. What more meet and just and necessary? Are not God's ways in requiring faith equal? 4. Behold the danger of ignorance or mistake in this great fundamental point, upon which salvation or damnation have such immediate and necessary dependence. In other matters, not so great danger. How justly sensible, then, is the folly of those that cannot patiently hear the doctrine of faith, but think of time laid out upon it, as Judas has the anointment's expense. What needs this waste? John 12:5. But truly, if you are ignorant of God's righteousness, which is by faith in the Son of God, Philippians 3:9, you will take other ways in which you cannot find salvation. You will go about to establish your own righteousness. Romans 10:3. 5. The usefulness and needfulness of gospel ministry is hence manifest. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17. How then shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful upon the mountains are their feet that bring the glad tidings of salvation. And as workers, together with God, build up precious souls in their holy faith. Romans 10:14-15, Isaiah 52:7. 2. Exhortation and admonition. The second sort of uses shall be made up of conjoined exhortation and admonition. Admonitory exhortations. First, labor after this faith, and take heed lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. Hebrews 3:12. Evil it is to God, it dishonoureth him, and disappointeth him. Evil to us, deprives us of our offered happiness, and bringeth upon us swift destruction. 2 Peter 2:1. Certain and aggravated condemnation. Take heed of this gross self-murder of unbelief. Make use of the means before described for the begetting and increase of faith, and beware and oppose those things that are opposite unto faith. This exhortation is to all. Secondly, to those that pretend that they have faith, try whether your faith be right or no, and to this end make use of and apply those notes and proprieties of faith before handled. Yet spend not so much time in trying whether you have it, as in exercising it. In this many weak Christians are very faulty, and this will be the way to make all sure for you, and in due time clear to you. Thirdly, to those that, upon trial, find they have this excellent grace of faith. 1. Rejoice and comfort yourselves against all your sins, fears, the world's troubles, Satan's temptations. For as to all, thou art more than conqueror. Romans 8:37. If thou believest, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:2. And he that believeth shall be saved. Mark 16:16. To bless God and boast not. There is no cause of boasting. Faith is a gift of God. There is cause of thanksgiving. It is the hand to receive all other gifts. If ye hope for salvation by faith, be humble. Glory not. For boasting is excluded by the law of faith. Romans 3:27. The constitution of faith for the salvation of sinners thereby. If ye stand by faith, be not high-minded. If ye abound in faith, abound therein with thanksgiving. For ye owe the more. Colossians 2:7. 3. Live by faith. Romans 1:17. Paul, from Habakkuk, asserts, the just shall live by faith, and propounds his own example of living by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20. Be much in the actings and exercise of faith, and make your lives full of the fruit and efficacy of faith. Yea, peculiarly exercise faith in dependence upon God for the support and perseverance of your faith. Draw down to practice what you know of faith, and you shall know more satisfactorily the doctrine of faith than the wisest in the world according to the letter. Live by the faith of the Son of God. This notion is not notion but action, not word but life. And then wait till faith shall be turned into vision, and being perfected, being abolished, having done its work, and then at least ye shall be fully satisfied concerning it. 4. Labour to be strong in the grace of faith that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:1. Not only for your own sakes, to avoid those anxieties which weakness of faith causes, but for God's sake, that by strong faith he may, with Abraham, the father of the faithful, give much glory to God, who hath annexed glory to believing. Romans 4:16-20. 5. Pity them that do not believe, and labour to propagate your faith, whose soul, that by faith are themselves secured, would not bleed in consideration of the dangerous, yea, considerable, miserable estate, as before described, of unbelieving friends, relations, acquaintance. Warn them, exhort them, while it is called today, Hebrews 3:13. Pray for them. Yea, strengthen the weak in faith, and offend them not by going to the utmost bounds of your Christian liberty. 6. Esteem them precious that have this precious faith, and have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons, James 2:1. Let the poor of the world, that are rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, be honourable in your esteem, as they are in God's. James 2:5.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. You are welcome to make copies and give them to those in need. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. It is likely that the sermon or book that you just listened to is also available on cassette or video, or as a printed book or booklet. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3000, 3730 by fax at 780-468-1096 or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's E-D-M-O-N-T-O-N, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart, from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, I have not commanded them, whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying his word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew.